Chapter 1, The Problem with Traditional Currency.
Let's go back 100 years to when money had real value. It was backed by gold, at least here in the good old USA. The gold standard was not hard to understand. Each dollar in circulation around the world was backed by $1 in gold, held in the most secure bank in the world, Fort Knox in Kentucky. You knew that time that you spent $1 here, there, or anywhere, it was secured with real value in gold. President Nixon removed us from the gold standard in 1971 in a move known as the Nixon Shock. Today, there are rumors that Fort Knox is boarded up because it's completely empty. Money in 1922 was largely held by the top 2%. Today, most of the big money is largely held by the top 2%. It's not a big surprise, and it has little to do with anything other than those top 2% of people know how the game works and are close friends with those people who dole out the funds in the shape of loans, incentives, and grants. That will not likely change anytime soon unless the people take back their power over their money. That is the purpose of decentralized finance and why the movement is becoming so popular. The problem with money is historical, even biblical. You don't have to go back too far to understand how it went off the rails. If you go back to 1922, where currency had some real value backing it, it also had real benefits, not the least of which is convenience. Money was accepted everywhere. It was largely made of paper and smaller, lighter coins made of metal, so it was very durable. It was also easily divisible. The denominations made it simple to make change and give back the excess. Today, it's still in use, albeit in a different value structure, and it's pretty much accepted everywhere, and it's easy to use. We've been using digital money for decades, spending on accounts and credit cards that circulate funds around the world 24 hours a day. For now, you can still buy a hot dog at a stand and get change back from a $20 bill, unless it's a gourmet food truck. Yogi Berra said, "A nickel ain't worth a dime anymore." Fiat money is the same worldwide. It can be traded for equal value and exchanged for a fee so that you can use it on other lands that have their own fiat currency. When paper currency goes away, there will be few choices to acquire things. You will either adapt and use what the consensus believes is money, or you can prepare now and take back the power that money gives you. Money is not wealth. Freedom and time are wealth. Money is only the most popular method to have more free time to go and do as you please. I've never noticed that before. The phrase free time is what money buys you. Of course, it buys you things, but most things go away or get used up, just like time. To have the freedom that comes with money, you must make use of the world's most valuable resource. That's also in the shortest supply, your time. Every second that passes makes the remaining ones more valuable. The worst part is you never know how much time you have left in that bank. To be prepared, most people think that you must save. This is partially true, but to save, you must earn more than you spend and not give in to temptation. Sometimes you can play it smart and predict what might happen with an investment, say in a stock or a piece of property, but again, you need to have the resources to be able to afford to buy the stock or the real estate that may or may not go up in value. That sounds a lot like gambling. Here's a sure bet: get out of fiat currency and prepare for a shift in the financial landscape. Why take my word for it? Do your own research. It's not difficult. I challenge you to find any government-backed currency that is not staked by some tangible asset like gold or oil or something that's in demand, and tell me how they fared. I'll give you a hint. Not one currency that was devalued by its governing body is still around today. They have all failed. Will our fiat currency fail? Are you saying that the US dollar will fail? That can't be right. I'm simply saying that in March of 2022, President Biden signed an executive order that sets a 180-day deadline for a series of reports on the future of money and the role that cryptocurrencies will play in that evolving landscape. It also calls for the exploration of a potential digital version of the U.S. dollar. Since this indicates that the dollar will be converted into some form of cryptocurrency, it makes sense that there will be a conversion rate. This has never gone well for countries that had to convert their existing currencies into a new fiat currency, without a backing instrument like gold, silver, or a majorly traded commodity. The European Central Bank, as well as other major lenders and financiers, are considering their own digital financial system to replace fiat currency. When the U.S. got off the gold standard, it caused a collapse of the dollar as a worldwide pegged currency, and other countries went back to a free-floating fiat currency of their own. At the same time, the real value of the U.S. dollar lost 20%, and our old friend inflation raised its ugly head again. In Europe, the EU also converted several countries' currencies into one fiat currency known as the euro dollar. Italy, Portugal, Greece, and Spain were already in deep debt, and unifying the currencies was the most painful for Germany, which had recently undergone unification with East Germany, and it's estimated that the German people lost as much as 40% of the value of their savings, according to some who were there at the time. Because most Europeans believe that Germany, having stronger banks and regulations, and that they control more of the economic decisions for loans, that they tend to make financial deals that are more favorable to Germany, and that ultimately they are taking an unfair advantage of the system. Throughout history, any financial system that existed has done so for only about 40 to 50 years. Our current financial system that has made fiat currencies from multiple countries independent of any real pegging to solid value commodity is already about 60 years old. How fiat money is managed today? You may or may not be aware of this, but your government does not manage your money, the interest rates, or who gets huge bailout loans. That task is delegated to a central bank. In the U.S., the Federal Reserve System is arguably the most powerful financial institution in the world. It has a board that is comprised of 7 members, and there are 12 Federal Reserve banks with their own presidents that represent a separate district in different regions of the U.S. The Fed's main duties include conducting national monetary policy, supervising and regulating banks, and attempting to maintain financial stability in the U.S. marketplace. Note, the Federal Reserve is neither federal nor reserved. They are comprised of bankers, of the top 5 or so of the largest U.S. banks, and pretty much work independent of our policy or influence of the U.S. government. They must obey the laws, and they often consult with other agencies, but they are not regulated directly by our elected officials. Take away from that what you will. For a really well-written view of the Fed's mandate and operations, check out the link at www.investopedia.com/terms/f/federalreservebank.asp. Other central banks. The European Union has their own version of the Fed, known as the European Central Bank, or ECB. Its main function is to manage price stability in the European Union and the Eurozone Currency Union. The ECB decisions on monetary policy and banking supervisions are made by the ECB Governing Council, comprising 6 executive board members and a monthly rotation of national central bank governors, currently from Germany, France, Italy, Spain, and the Netherlands. Much like the Fed, the ECB can control interest and deflation by managing the flow of currency of its member nations that deal in the euro. Suffice it to say, learn what you can about these agencies and prepare to see some shenanigans whenever you leave the control of huge amounts of money in the hands of bankers. You can draw your own conclusions, but it's hard to dispute that governments and non-governmental banking organizations will take every advantage to control fiat currency rates, conversions, lending, and other arrangements to their advantage and outside of your influence. Just remember that the next time you try to get a bank loan from one of these big money changers. What can be done to fix money? Anything of value can be money, as we already know. How do you establish the baseline? When does three hens equal one goat? Or four goats traded for a cow? Who determines the value or the ratio of hens to goats? It's really up to the same old well-established trade systems. Perceived or agreed upon value plus supply and demand equals actual value. In its purest form, this is the root of capitalism. Whenever you have an excess of what you are willing to trade versus what you need and you're willing to pay for your needed items, it will establish your base. Sometimes you get stuck paying market value for something, even if you don't entirely agree with the calculated value. If you like swordfish, but the catch is low this season, you'll pay more for it due to scarcity, the supply of swordfish versus the demand for the fresh seafood. The reason you need to really understand this concept is the perceived value of something is really all that matters to both the seller and the buyer when they agree on the price that is to be paid. Perceived value versus actual value. This concept, more than most, is responsible for why cryptocurrencies are valued at what they are. Perceived value is just that, perceived to be something worth the price by those who are willing to purchase that commodity at that price. This is also sometimes called speculation, because you don't know what the actual last selling price is. If you bought a Beanie Baby for more than $6.99 in 1990 and thought you were going to sell it for over $100, you've participated in speculation in the market for collectibles. This can also play into the value of any given NFT at a particular moment in time, but more on that later. Actual value is when we all agree on the value of something and are willing to pay that price, and then it can later be sold for nearly the same amount within a short period of time. In fiat currencies, if we can conduct equal trade anywhere in the world with a one-to-one exchange of that currency, that's the agreed price. If you bought your Beanie Baby at Target for $6.99, that was the actual value at the time, but not necessarily the value. If we're all carrying the same kind of currency, digital or otherwise, it's called fungible. That's just a fancy word saying that they are interchangeable. So what is it about that currency that makes it better than any other form of payment? Digital currency is perceived to be secure, convenient, and reliable. At the moment, this statement is mostly true. But in 10 years, will that still be the case? What assurances do you have that someone in a huge, multinational world bank will not decide to switch it out for something that's more favorable to them, without so much as consulting you? What about the technology behind the coin that you moved your entire life's fortune over to? Will it continue to perform? You have no such assurance, and it's unlikely that anyone in the financial realm will ever ask your opinion on the matter. Digital currency, a legitimate replacement for money? What defines cryptocurrency? We've established that fiat currency has no backing, it's doomed for failure eventually, and that perceived value of any asset is what it's actually worth. So who's to say that digital money's not real? Who's to say that the value of a highly traded stock like Tesla is real? How much do you trust that company? How much do you know about how it will perform in the future? If you're honest with yourself, probably not a whole lot. The value of a stock is subject to the same perception value worth equation. If you think it's a good value and you have available funds, chances are you'll take the risk. The same is true for any digital asset, cryptocurrency, or NFT. Cryptocurrency sounds mysterious. It has crypto right there in the name. Crypto is short for cryptograph, which means secret code. It can also mean hidden or to blur from true purpose. It makes sense in context, but it's not about encryption that makes cryptocurrency special. Why would you build a monetary system that is already difficult to understand on top of the word crypto, which also means obscured? Because by its very nature, it is. Cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin are digital currencies not backed by real assets or tangible securities. They are traded between consenting parties with no broker and are tracked on digital ledgers. What if the digital money was about to become the new money in circulation for all that is traded in the U.S.? Will you trust it? A lot of people did not trust the dollar when it came off the gold standard in 1971, especially people who were holding dollars as investments in foreign countries. They wanted their gold back. Americans took on a huge burden when a lot of that money came back, and guess what? It caused inflation. Again. Digital money is not likely to do that. But when the value of cryptocurrency goes down, or it crashes altogether, will you lose all that you had invested in it? Currently, there are literally over 1,000 choices for crypto coins, NFTs, and other blockchain investments. How do you know which one to choose? Who do you think will win? Are you sure that Bitcoin, Ethereum, or even Dogecoin will be around 10 years from now? What do you think these all have in common? They are all vulnerable to the same future money problem. Let's look into the future of money. We all agree that whatever money systems we will use will most likely not be in the form of paper or metal discs. Fiat currency, or hard coins and paper money, is on the way out, and there's not much you or I can do about it. This presents a problem for the future of money. It will likely become more difficult to manage, and you're going to need some kind of device with access to a network that can transact the simple purchases that you make if all currency goes digital. So will the vendor of those goods and services. We all have a cell phone, right? Well, no, not really. There are literally millions of people in the countries all over the world who don't own any kind of digital device that has access to the internet. In some of those countries, entire families share one device, one phone number, or even one email address. How will they gain access to all those digital funds everyone's talking about? The future money problem is global, as well as technical. But it starts here at home. Why should you worry about someone on the other side of the planet that may or may not have a connected device? Mainly because if history repeats, they will likely be the ones supplying many of the people of the world with goods, raw materials, and labor. How do we make things equal for them? How do I know that they will have access to the funds that I use to buy those things and verify that they get paid for their part in its production? PayPal, Zelle, Venmo, and other peer-to-peer payment networks take fees and require your recipient to sign up with a unique email address and/or phone number, so they are not likely to work everywhere you go. To make matters worse, when we're all using cryptocurrency or some equivalent, how will we be able to travel to the remote places off the grid or to third world countries and conduct transactions, exchange our digital currency for local coin, if their people have not adopted our non-fiat money? What about popular vacation spots that are remote, which is part of their appeal? There are still a lot of places where internet connectivity is spotty at best, and electricity even more so. Some are right here on this side of the world, like the Bahamian Islands and the Philippines, where weather and geography still play havoc with your ability to phone home. This means in 100 years or less, unless these dark spots on the globe are somehow lit up, money will not be fungible. Again, another word meaning equal or tradable for one-to-one. Or that's not the same all over the world. We will need to build a lot of infrastructure around the globe to fix this problem. If this fails, then the entire world will feel the effect, again, simply because of scarcity or supply and demand. Altcoins. Do they matter? Altcoins, or coins other than Bitcoin, play a major role in the overall cryptocurrency market. They make up more than 90% of the volume of trades involved in digital currency. But combined, they still pale in comparison to the king of the hill, Bitcoin. Bitcoin is still the top dog because it has the most value, the most trades, the most investors, and with the most money. But mainly because they were first with a solid structure for trading on the blockchain. Sometimes being first is enough, even if it's not necessarily the best. Dogecoin. Cute meme or money mongrel? Sometimes the internet does things that no one can explain. Lolcat memes, Fail Army, and Doge come to mind. The latter, a meme based on a cute breed of Japanese hipster dog called a Shiba Inu, has set cryptocurrency on its haunches. Dogecoin was open-source cryptocurrency that was started in 2013 by Jackson Palmer and Billy Marcus, loosely based on the Litecoin standard. Started mainly as a joke, Palmer and Marcus launched the coin on December 6th of 2013. 2 weeks later, on December 19, the value of Dogecoin jumped 300%, perhaps due to China forbidding its banks from investing in cryptocurrencies. In 2019, Dogecoin had a major jump in value along with the rest of the crypto market. A major crypto exchange, Binance, listed the coin, and Elon Musk had endorsed the coin in a cryptic tweet about the dog meme-based crypto coin. Musk has openly supported Dogecoin in 2021, tweeting again in May that he was working with the coin's developers to improve transaction efficiency. Elon Musk is known for having some fun at times at the expense of more serious people, and Dogecoin was no exception. At about the height of the Doge craze, Elon was hosting Saturday Night Live that same month, and he dealt Doge investors a major blow by sarcastically calling cryptocurrency a scam. I watched the price of Doge live that night as he tanked his favorite pet crypto. It went from a high of 69 cents to about 11 cents, and in the days following, where it continued to hover around 6 cents. People who took him and Doge seriously lost millions because of a joke. This is not the first time his comments have had a major impact on a market, and has prompted the Securities and Exchange Commission to investigate his intentions, and he lost major credibility as a market influencer with some diehard fans. A word of caution. As you now understand it, any investment that can be influenced by even the most unlikely sources. Elon Musk did not intend to do damage to Doge or the crypto market in general, and he actually did issue a warning to crypto investors the day before his now infamous appearance on SNL. In a tweet, Elon said, "Cryptocurrency is promising, but please invest with caution." Inflation. Does it affect crypto? In 1922, $1 would have been worth about $18 today. How does that happen? One word, inflation. I'm no economist, but I know how to use Google. There are two main factors that cause inflation. One, the demands for goods and services in an economy exceeds the economy's ability to produce them with demand pull inflation. This short supply places upward pressure on prices. This gives rise to inflation. In other words, when boats can't deliver supplies to truckers and ultimately to the stores, the cost of those goods go up. Number two, cost push inflation occurs when the rising price of input goods and services increases the price of the final goods and services and causes inflation. An oil crisis often causes a decrease in the oil supply and an increase in the price of petroleum as an important import good. The rising price of petroleum puts upward pressure on the price of the final goods and services, leading to a temporary increase in inflation. In other words, things cost more when the gas costs more. If you read deeper into this, any shortage of supply for any reason is the main reason things cost more. If it lasts long enough, it will affect more and more products, since most things we want are usually tied together. Just like money being tied to an imaginary standard, the cost of things can go up because people outside the supply chain can make decisions that impact the availability of value of goods needed to keep the world balanced. How does that impact the world of cryptocurrency? When set up properly, it does not. There are no outside influences that can affect the availability of crypto coins, other than the creator's rules or, possibly, hard fiat currencies that they are pegged to. Coin creators may limit the number of available coins or set a cap or a split to attempt to keep things fair and balanced. Coin creators may even tie their coin to a real-world value called pegging and base it on something like the US dollar, but the value of most of the world's cryptocurrencies is based on the same age-old rule, supply and demand. This is the way that a fiat currency inflation may affect the value of your invested coin. Money created from nothing, with no value holding it up, is simply currency. The value of that currency can fluctuate based on whatever you believe the value is, compared to hard goods that are in demand. Unless money 100 years from now is based on something other than the trust of the issuer, we will still be faced with inflation in the future. It is inevitable. Inflation will continue as long as banks, governments, and whale investors can affect the supply or demand of any particular currency. Is capitalism the answer? Don't confuse this with a political statement. This is simply a statement of pure, untainted trade going back centuries. If you're selling fish at a price no one will pay, you must either lower your cost or the next fishmonger will get all of your business. If you're paying your fishermen too much, or the cost of your boat slip or net repairs are too high, you may need to adjust your business plan or go broke. If your competition is getting an unfair advantage from the dockmaster in the form of a discounted slip rate, that is inequitable and is not true capitalism. Whoever gives an unfair advantage to one business over another should, and back in the day, would have been exposed, and the customers would not have dealt with him anymore. Pure capitalism is a self-leveling system, and it's very rare today. Every business is looking for ways to reduce cost and increase profit, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you're getting tax breaks or incentives for acting in a certain way, you're not a capitalist system. Taxes are rarely, if ever, instituted fairly, and we could write an entire book on that topic alone. But to suffice it to say, everyone writes off whatever the IRS says that they can in order to pay fewer taxes. Virtually everyone today is using technology to make their lives more convenient. In fact, it's likely that you filed your taxes electronically this year and either paid more or got a refund electronically. If you understand that it actually helps the IRS, then you're ahead of the game. Of the trillions of dollars that the U.S. government spends each year, the IRS is responsible for collecting it from businesses and people that earned that money in America. No system in history has ever seen more wealth pass through their coffers. And it flows like the Mississippi River, never stopping, ever increasing. Again, take from this what you will, but that amount of money is going out faster than it comes in is bordering on obscene. Where's the accountability for how much is being spent, and to which cause? How much say do you have? Your elected officials are supposed to be the watchdogs of this spending, but do you trust that's what they're doing? It's not for me to judge. It's for everyone who makes money or earns a paycheck in America. So, I ask you, are you willing to turn the important decisions of how the future of money will be managed over to them? The next most important question is, who do you trust to come up with that system to create a fair and level trading platform that establishes rules that don't benefit the top 2% currently managing more than 90% of the entire world's wealth? Do you believe they'll work in your best interest? Maybe you want to trust big tech companies to make those decisions. It seems like the crypto community does not put much faith in them at the moment. The entire decentralized finance system, or DeFi, seems to be less trusting of a large tech firm than even large banks or governments of the world. It's a bit ironic, given that the solution most people are betting on resides in a tech solution. The appearance is that the current climate is hoping that one gladiator, or some knight in shining armor, will emerge from battle for crypto dominance as a clear winner. His battle scars and war wounds showing the world that he has survived and emerged victorious. The real world looks at this battle and continues to shake its collective head and sigh. All they see is a battle over something they don't really understand and even fear to some degree. They hear words like artificial intelligence and programmable currency, and they lose their minds. You hear these things from uninformed people like, "We're going to lose every last bit of our privacy," or, "They'll be able to control how and what things we can buy." They all say it. I'm not trying to scare anyone, but I've heard some of those same stories. Depending on who makes the rules about currency, a few of these ideas have actually been floated. I, for one, don't believe they'll work, because mainly people are already aware of the scheme. I suggest solutions for some of these issues later in the book. Read on, become informed, and thereby less fearful. Chapter 1 Summary. The rules of cryptocurrency are not clearly defined, and there's no entity to take responsibility for fixing it. American money used to be backed by gold, now it's the good faith and trust of the US government. That should not make you feel secure. Fiat currency, or money without any real value, is subject to inflation, and as long as outside forces control the supply, it always will be, making the value of assets you hold worth less and less. Digital currency may have gotten its start in gaming, but it's been around 20 plus years, and in internet years, that's not likely to survive in its current state. People will continue to patch it, and if it makes economic sense to do so, but most likely, it needs a total overhaul. Even if the blockchain code is redesigned or patched, its basic premise is flawed, taking too long to conduct and verify transactions. Because of its design, it will only get worse. Transactions in the real world using Bitcoin are not as secure as you think, and already take up to 30 minutes or more to complete, leaving the vendor on the hook should your transaction not clear.